Courage, Resistance, and Women in Ciudad Juarez is a book written by Kathleen Stout and Zulma Y. Mendez, where they examine civil society activism in the borderlands. What has been called La Resistencia Juarense, or the Juarense Resistance, in the first decade of the 20th century. Today, my guest is Kathleen Stout, Professor of Political Science and Endowed Professor of Western Hemispheric Trade Policy Studies at the University of Texas at El Paso. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I saw that you had a lecture recently on your book, so I got really excited and thought, y'all have to come on the show.
Yes, yes.
So tell us, what is La Resistencia Juarense?
It is. It consists of networks and organizations, beginning especially with women leaders, women's organizations, social movements that came together around 2010 to challenge the official narrative that was coming from the government in Mexico City, President Calderón, and also to a certain extent from our government, because both worked together. And both had decided to use a strategy of militarization at the border. And militarization initially was promised to some as a way to bring security. And things were very difficult in Juarez from 2008 onwards. Luckily, thankfully, things have quieted down in the last year or two. But the militarization seemed to aggravate the problem rather than solve the problem. There was a point where over 3,000 murders happened in Ciudad Juarez in 1 year. And that no longer is true of Ciudad Juarez, but militarization did not seem to be the answer. In fact, many people began to worry that the federal police and the military and other state and municipal police were sometimes doing a kind of social cleansing of the population rather than investigating, prosecuting, and so on. Plus, militarization is very expensive, and had the money been used for better job creation, higher wages, educational opportunities, and so on, that might have been a better way to invest the money. But basically, the Juarez resistance would be people coming together and making alliances, beginning with women and what we call women leaders as game changers, who eventually made alliances and coalitions, sometimes in uneasy ways, with others. And what had once been a kind of a woman's movement against violence toward women became a woman's and a man's movement against the militarization. So these resistors developed their own narratives, what we had called theoretically in the book, the hidden narrative. They made the hidden narrative public, and eventually that turned into a type of challenge against the rhetoric that was coming from the federal authorities.
Can you tell us about some of the women specifically?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the women had two of her sons killed at a massacre in the southern part of Juarez, the Villas de Salvargar. She works in a maquila. She came from a relatively humble background. And that massacre of, I believe it was 15 teenagers, was a real turning point because people realized there really wasn't security. And when President Calderón was in Japan at the time that this happened, and by the way, it was the third year of his term, and he hadn't visited Juarez yet, even though Juarez was the hot point for violence in the country at that time, he said something like, oh, they were probably involved with drug trafficking. And that's the way a lot of authorities treated these sorts of crimes. And so people in Juarez were beginning to be furious about that. And so Luz Maria Davila was her name, with two sons killed. She was able to get into the fancy Cibeles, which is the conference center. And when President Calderón was speaking, she got up and challenged him. People took videos of her long statement, and the videos went viral after that. And she basically said, how can you speak this way about us? You're not creating any kind of security for us. Suppose it had been your children, what would you have done? And it was a real embarrassment for the president in a country where in previous decades and generations there had been a kind of hyper-politeness expressed by working people toward the elites who are in authority in Mexico. Mexico. So Luz Maria was an inspiration to people. There was another mother by the last name Escobedo. She had been protesting her daughter's death. Her daughter was killed by the partner, her husband, who actually confessed to the crime, dismembered the body, put it in a dump, and actually he was put on trial, and they let him go. And
after
so,
admitting to
yes,
it
yes,
and
yes.
doing all of this?
You know, it's the judicial system just doesn't work in a functional way yet in many parts of Mexico, although there are reforms in place, but they're not there yet. And so her daughter, you know, she wanted justice for her daughter. So she would go around protesting, and she went to the governor's palace in Chihuahua City. A week before her assassination, she had challenged the governor face-to-face, and there's a kind of a gender aspect to this resistance, because normally it's hard for a humble person to challenge once again an elite and authority like that.
Much less a woman.
Yes, that's right. And so she challenged him, and on December 16th, as I recall, the date of the assassination, the streets were pretty much cleared. They're normally busy. There are a lot of guards around. They were cleared, and but there were the videos were operating. And the video captured how the assassin came out and shot her, and that video also went viral. So after that, her sons, other people continued pressing for justice, although there were some who thought that maybe the assassination was done on, this is speculation, on government orders or by people who were connected to the murder of her daughter, who might have been involved in some extremely vicious cartels.
So you talk about a lot of courageous women. Now, is part of standing up to somebody dying as well, or are there some that
unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, there have been activists and journalists who've been killed. And we wanted in the book to create documentation and create a memory to make sure that people understood how difficult it was to be in a resistance mode in those fearful and intimidating times. And so people did stand up, and they were courageous in doing so. But I think what's special about what turned into this larger alliance of resistance is that there's power in numbers. And we have some analysis and also even some pictures in the book of huge rallies and marches, even marches where women dressed in burqas, in white burqas, to make a kind of symbolic statement about themselves. They had to hide their faces because, of course, there were government surveillance people always watching to try
right,
to...
and we kind of understand that standing up means maybe...
Yes, taking a risk.
Through it,
taking
yes.
a risk, yeah. But also to illustrate that just like halfway around the world, women might have to cover themselves if they're on the streets protesting.
We talk about social media and this resistance moving and the power of it.
Yes.
And you gave us two really good examples.
Yes.
How did they use it as a tool to come together?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the YouTube videos. Hundreds of thousands of people clicked on those YouTube videos and watched them. But there were other ways that people used Facebook, websites, and emails to communicate in fearful times like those. And had there not been electronic media available, perhaps it would have been more difficult for large numbers of people to come together to challenge government rhetoric, these so-called official narratives or official transcripts that we talk about. So there were cases of people who had not been involved that much who started Facebook pages and befriended a lot of people. And it's interesting to watch social media. It's almost, though, as if you have to print it and take note of it, because Facebook pages can appear and disappear very
That's
quickly.
Right.
And it's really hard to get your arms around social media. There's so much of it. But social media also had downsides to it. Of course, you know, here in the United States, when people are on Facebook, you can't just like something and think that you've become an activist. You really have to do something more than just press the or click a button that says like. But sometimes people misuse the social media. For example, organized criminals also use social media to scare people and show some of the horrible things that they do. And then sometimes if people are on listservs, if they say something awkward or rude. It could undermine the spirit of what people are trying to do through electronic means.
So let me ask you this. You and Zulma obviously stood up. You're writing about the resistance movement. Did you ever feel like you were in danger?
Well, Zulma had been involved in many of the organizations that we write about for some time. So, you know, perhaps there were times when she had to watch her back. But luckily, she had colleagues and people in her network that were working with her to do this. We also cover the transnational part of these movements. And I focused a little bit more on this side of the border. I had in previous books and writings, I had covered the Juarez side in my 2008 book. So I, for one, didn't have any fearful experiences. Maybe Zulma did, but Zulma's in great shape, and she's a fine professor and doing her work, working a lot with young people. You know, it was amazing to see how many young people were involved in these movements. And that, I think, gives us hope for good things that can happen in the future, although it must be said that Mexico continues to operate in very turbulent times, given what's happened with the 43 students in the southern part of the country and so on.
We're thankful that you wrote this book. The book by Kathleen Stout and Zulma Y. Mendez is Courage, Resistance, and Women in Ciudad Juarez. And where can people find it?
Well, the University of Texas Press published the book. If you go online, you can order it, and they even give a discount for online ordering. But they can go online to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or some of those other places. Also, the university bookstore here, the UTEP bookstore, has copies available as well.
Great. Well, we thank you for visiting with us today.
Thank you.